Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Well, the release of the Zondo State Capture Report is of immense public interest. Social media lit up last night, mainstream media lit up. And to chat to us this morning about it is Sandile Swana, a political analyst. A very good morning to you, Sandile.
Good morning to you, Chad, and good morning to your listeners.
Sandile, you and I know the answer to the question, but I think for the general public, there's been such an information overload the last few years that some of them are becoming almost wary of report after report of report. So they're also becoming concerned that perhaps nothing's going to happen with those reports, so they don't take that much interest anymore. Why is the Zondo State Commission report of such immense public interest?
I think the Zondo Commission report itself is, above all things to me, a powerful educational tool to South Africans and other Africans across the continent about the romantic view. I think a lot of us have had a very romantic view of what the cabinet ministers, the state president, and all the honorables are doing in the affairs of the state. I think a lot of us had a very noble perspective on them. What the Zondo Commission does, and in the reports, tells you in clear detail what they were actually doing, which undermined a lot of the companies that are owned by the state and bankrupted a lot of them. So it means the average South African, when your child cannot get a job, etc., etc., you know exactly what happened, because those monies for developing the economy were actually stolen by the ruling party, stolen by the ruling elites of South Africa, the ones that you call noble and honorable on a daily basis. That, to me, is the power of the Zondo Commission report, before we even talk about how it is going to be used.
Any big surprises in the report?
I don't have big surprises in the report, except that when what you know on a general basis is then detailed, and the impunity, the arrogance, the aggressiveness of the top leaders, whether they are board members, cabinet ministers, the president himself, all of them, when you see the extent of their arrogance and just carelessness and recklessness with no regard for the law, when you know for sure that their actions are jeopardizing the livelihoods of many families, jeopardizing careers of people, jeopardizing companies that in good faith contracted with the state, and bankrupting many people with ruthless abandon and extreme arrogance, that to me has been, as I read, and I have to continue reading, this is 874 pages of reading. As I read this report, you start to sink into deep disappointment.
Can I ask you this? Do you think that the terms of reference may have been somewhat selective? We know that it was in response to the Public Protector's report, Thuli Madonsela, which implicated Zuma with the Guptas. But when we talk about state capture, it's such a broad term. Do you think that perhaps it's important to have a report structured around terms of reference in certain aspects of state capture, or should we perhaps have had a broader term of reference?
You must remember that President Zuma, as you correctly point out, the original terms of reference were focusing on two families, the Gupta family and the Zuma family. And then Zuma made the terms of reference general. And then the terms of reference as they stand now are general, especially to the extent that Zuma, the only single politician was identified in the original terms of reference, was given a chance to open them up, and they were opened up. So the opening up of the terms of reference was good. And secondly, in order to, for us as the voters, as the residents of South Africa, you need a sample. You don't need 100%. If we're to say we want to know everything, then this thing will continue until we die. The investigations and inquiries will continue until we die. So you need some form of respectable sample of what has gone on. But as they prosecute and investigate others, the police and other people will uncover the other lot of crooks. And there's always a chance for any one of us to go to the public protector, go to the SIU, go to the Hawks, go to the NPA, and report what you know. Because if we're honest about it, whether you are sitting in a pub or anywhere, this information sort of comes along one way or the other.
So some of the key takeaways in terms of the recommendations was that the government establishes an independent corruption agency. We've got so many chapter nines, so many NGOs, MPOs, as well as law enforcement agencies. Do we need another anti-corruption agency, or is this something that can be absorbed into one of the many law enforcement agencies or chapter nines that we currently have?
Yeah, I think this recommendation is misguided. It is misguided in the sense, as you correctly point out, the institutions were there. And you'll remember that what the people that we call the comrades, when they saw that what they wanted to do, when they got a good picture of what they wanted to do, the first step that they took among many was to close the Scorpions down, because one of their complaints was that the Scorpions were far too fast and accurate in arresting them and sending them to prison. So they closed the Scorpions down. So which means that we've had a mechanism, at least one mechanism that was working quite potently. Again, when we had Tulima Donzela as public protector, because of the caliber of person who was simply appointed to that position, the public protector educated us and whipped people into line. So there is just a question here of how we manage HR in the institutions. Who gets appointed? The process of appointing people. I think the biggest discussion in South Africa about this whole corruption thing is this thing called cadre deployment. Because in order for you to have extensive corruption in South Africa, you have to put crooks in every place where it matters, where the keys are kept to the safes and everything. Put all sorts of crooks there so that you can have free access to the monies of the nation. That is the issue that needs attention, not the establishment of a new agency.
I'm with you on that, Sandile. And let me tell you, I really enjoyed our conversation this morning, especially the way you opened the conversation by telling us that this is an education for all South Africans. It is something that is of immense importance. And people, if they're not going to read the whole report, they need to read the key takeaways. It's going to be published in all mainstream media as well as on social media. Sandile Swana, thank you so much for joining us. And I know we're now already on the 5th, but I wish you a very prosperous 2022.
Thank you so much, Chad. All of the best to you guys.
Sandile Swane is a political analyst and was chatting to us today about the importance of why the public should be interested in the findings of the state capture report.